I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15pm on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchase goes towards keeping Cafe Track and Track NN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
Rain again. And he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. First of all, I wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you for listening to our Fans Forum episode last week, where we put season ticket holders' questions to Kelvin Thomas, James Whiting and Keith Curl. It was great to chat to the club on your behalf and at the same time help the club to communicate with the fans during what has been an abnormal year, shall we say. If you've not had a chance to listen to our full unedited chat yet, you still can via our website, cobblerstome.com, or of course, just go back one episode in the podcast feed. So today we are going to be discussing what we learned from the fans forum and showing our opinions on and sharing our opinions on what was said. Chezzy is away this week, being a hero in a day job as a teacher this week. So it's just me, Charles, and Danny, and Neil. Hey, guys, have you enjoyed the weekend off watching the FA Cup?
It's nice not to have a game, I think, sometimes. It's nice to have a bit of a breather. The FA Cup has been all right, but it's probably the competition that misses the fans the most, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So you look at teams like Marine today and a couple of the other teams who were causing upset, Blackpool. Sorry, Leeds United fan Mike Fuller. Crawley did a number on Leeds, yeah. I mean, imagine the fans. Well, Crawley fans don't make that much noise anyway, do they? But imagine the fans in them moments. It just takes a lot away from it, but yeah, so it's been pretty chilled weekend.
I will say, I think we'd give a shout out to the hardcore Marine fans that did attend the game in their back gardens. That's what the FA Cup's all about, isn't it?
Is that hardcore? Is that just coincidence? Maybe they're just popping out the garden for a drink. Oh, what's going on here?
With an air.
Oh, look, that's Gareth Bale. What's he doing?
Jung Min Son there running past my garden.
Did you see the guy with the cardboard cutout of Jurgen Klopp?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And the fact that they even said that he'd moved gardens in the second half. So at one point he was down close to the end that, well, basically he swapped ends the same as what Marine and Spurs did. So he went to the end where you would think he'd go where all the action was going to be, but instead he went to the end where Marine were attacking and basically saw hardly any of the match.
Yeah, that's what you do in non-league rounds. You can go all the way around, can't you? And just,
I mean, people used to do it in the 70s at league matches. I mean, there was a bit of more of a kerfuffle about it back then, but tradition, isn't it?
A kerfuffle.
Always nice to start the poll, don't they? Always nice to start the poll with a kerfuffle. Like that.
Well, look, I want to start the pod off this week. We are going to be looking back at the fans forum and giving our reaction to it. Danny, I must start by checking in with you because I'm a little bit worried. Have you recovered after receiving this death stare from Keith Curl?
Not really, no. I'm still in a bit of shock.
He has definitely seen your blog.
It was the question about his playing style, wasn't it? And I think I kept reiterating in the question, Not my words, Keith. Not my words.
Yeah, you did. At least twice.
The panic. Yeah,
it's like, not me. It's someone else. It's like that kid in the playground who just drops everything and blames his mate.
Yeah.
It was other way because obviously what we were doing was it was recorded on Zoom. And what I was doing, we were all doing to communicate with each other to sort of know who was going to ask the next question or who I was going to throw to next. We were using our WhatsApp group. So I'd sent a message to Danny saying, right, Danny, you're up next. You take this question about playing style for Keith, please.
Yeah.
Danny's just like that going, yeah, okay, yeah. In the WhatsApp group. But then, of course, by the time I throw to him, Danny's a trembling wreck.
Well, I didn't know what the question was until you told me. I was looking for the name of the person that you sent it to, and then I scrolled down. And by that point, he dropped me writing it, and I was just it's like, oh, here we go.
I didn't know. Yeah, Charles did stitch us up a little bit, didn't he? Maybe he asked a question about bloody chocolate bar to Keith.
To be fair, I thought if I'm going to make anybody look stupid, it's not going to be me.
Yeah.
So,
I've got to say though, I think big thanks for them all for taking 2 hours out because we were expecting an hour, weren't we?
We were
at the start, and they've stayed there for 2 hours, and a lot of them have got families they've been dealing with in the week, homeschooling, no doubt, dealing with COVID themselves and their own family. So, such a great thing for them to all spend 2 hours with us, which they really didn't need to do.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, in fairness, you look at it and you go, if it was a normal fans forum like me and Neil have hosted before in person.
And very well.
And very well, yes.
You say that, but there's not been one since.
There's just been one, just remotely.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Danny. We did one last week. But, even then, they're not quite 2 hours long, are they? They usually try and wrap it up as not. I'm not suggesting that the club don't want to do it and don't want to be there, but you know, it's usually a case of if it is going on a bit, then they try and wrap it up as quickly as they can. Whereas I think with us, we were, and I will give a bit of credit to all four of us. Chezzy's not here, of course, but all four of us for not just necessarily accepting the initial answer that they gave on every question. You know, I think the fact we did follow it, Danny, you followed up with the playing style question. I know I then followed up with the third time, which is maybe what really riled Keith. Kelvin stepped in, didn't he, actually, thinking about it. But it was that thing of like, we didn't just accept it. And I think we should take some credit for that, or you guys should take some credit for that.
I think throw some credit to the club as well, because they didn't actually vet any of those questions, did they? I know you gave them a heads up on the sort of themes, which is fair enough, but that was literally just an overview. Well, you know, there's some stuff about the East End, there's some stuff about on the field, there's some stuff about season ticket holders, but there was no, this is what the exact question is. They didn't really have any idea what was coming their way, did they? And they didn't, and they did make it clear beforehand, didn't they? That nothing's off the table, like whatever the questions are, we'll answer them best we can. Yeah. So I think, yeah, fair play to them. They didn't, like Danny said, they didn't have to do that. And you know, also fair play to them. I mean, they Kelvin Thomas turned up a bit earlier than expected, didn't he? And caught us all with our playing around with our filters on Zoom.
Yes, I'd forgotten about that. You had a mustache and an eye patch at one point, and yep. Kelvin wondered where it had gone.
Yeah, wasn't my finest moment. But even afterwards, you know, they stayed for a bit of a debrief as well, which they didn't need to do, did they? They could have just been like, right, cheers, guys, see ya, and off they went. But
yeah. Absolutely. And to be fair, and I will say that that's the first time I think I've had a proper conversation with James Whiting. We've met each other in the past, and obviously he was there at the last fans forum that we hosted, Neil. But I think that was the first time really where, I don't know, I felt like I was maybe a little bit more involved in the conversation, or, you know, having a conversation that went both ways kind of thing.
I'll tell you, he scares me.
You were worried he'd put a hit out on you, weren't you, afterwards?
I was concerned.
But no, I think if you think about it, with take Kelvin out of the picture for the moment, because he's the boss, he's the owner, and actually out of the four of them that were on that Zoom call, he's the one that, oh no, well, apart from Keith, obviously, he's the one that's been there the shortest amount of time. You know, James and Gareth both have worked for the club for a number of years, longer than Kelvin has been involved. And I think, therefore, that they do have, just as you do, Neil, with the business you work for, they've got, everything is a little bit of a vested interest for them. They take pride in their work and pride in the football club, rightly so, I think. And sometimes it can be difficult to be asked questions that maybe, I don't know whether they're tough or not, but that maybe you don't necessarily want to answer, or you don't have an answer for, or the answer you've got isn't going to be something that is going to make somebody happy. So, like you say, kudos to them for all turning up and for all offering to do it in the first place. It was fun, as much as we all got laser beamed to death by Keith Curl's stare.
Although there also was a moment where we weren't sure whether Keith Curl had fallen asleep or not, were we?
You were messaging, saying, I think we should wrap it up now. Keith looks a little bit asleep.
I think it was when Kelvin was giving one of his answers, which he likes to chat, doesn't he? Bless him. And it rattled on for a little bit, I think. And I just had a glance at Keith. It genuinely looked like he'd fallen asleep. I don't think he had, obviously. He was perhaps looking down at his phone or something. But I was genuinely concerned for a minute. And then I think then that's when Danny piped up and asked about the playing style. So probably that's why it didn't go down so well.
Yeah. So, first play to Keith. He didn't have to answer that like as much as he did. I'm quite glad he got the chance to answer it, sorry. Because he knows it's probably going on in the background. He knows what's going on. But by the same token, he's not going to change it. And he does it for a reason. There's a reason behind it. He's not going to be one to suddenly think, let's tear it all up and start again. He's got reasons for everything he does. And I'm actually glad that he's got the chance to defend it, because it doesn't probably get asked to him directly too much by the rest of the media and stuff. Because, they're asking about the match. They're asking about specific details of it. So I'm actually quite glad that you got the chance to do that and put it out there.
I just think it was interesting, because we asked, excuse me, I can't remember who it was. Somebody had sent in a question. Oh, I think it was Chris Marriott actually had sent in the question asking whether Kelvin Thomas would pay to watch Cobblers. And he answered the question, but he didn't answer the question.
It's a Kelvin speciality.
It was a politician. It was a politician's answer. He answered the question and said, well, people do pay to watch. But he never actually physically answered, I don't think, whether he would pay to watch.
Oh, I'm not sure. I think he actually did.
Did
I
he?
Think he did say
I
that
he
would,
he
yes.
Would, yeah.
Because
oh, well, I stand corrected and take everything back.
Gareth got into that as well, didn't he, about saying, no, who remembers the top, if you said you're going to put the top 10 games of the last history in a row and look back at them, who's going to remember the details? I mean, you look back at Wembley, it was a horrible game, the first one. You just remember
both
one
trick
at the
end.
It's like that. You pay to go to see the game because you're a Cobblers fan and you want to see us win at the end of the day. So, and I think it's quite good that Gareth can jump in on things like that as well.
Yeah, that's what he's there for, isn't he, really? Just to give a little bit of a... Well, first of all, to provide his own opinion. But second of all, Gareth usually... I don't know whether you guys feel like this, but he's a little bit of a super fan in a way, because he'll just have these stats or these...
What's his job?
His historical figures just in his mind, won't he? It's great. I love it.
He does strike me as a fan as well, though.
I think he is.
And that's something that a lot of people miss. They kind of call him the PR machine. I think I saw something on Twitter this week and stuff. He does so much for the club that just won't be that we don't know how much he does. But there's all the different things that people talk about him when we chat to them and talking to Kelvin about him. He does so much for that for the club that we will never know. Long hours, all this kind of thing, that I don't see how we can slate him. And I think he is kind of living that fans thing of being a part of a club, which must be pretty hard at times.
That all said, there was some stuff that didn't really sit quite comfortably, I didn't think.
Okay.
So the question about, I think it had come in from a fair few people, but it was a question about season tickets and what are the club planning on doing to sort of give back or show their thanks to season ticket holders and stuff. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I took from it. It was a long answer. They gave a long, detailed answer, etc. But actually, it did feel a little bit, when sifting through that a little bit, it was like, we're not really sure at the moment. We're sort of taking a wait-and-see attitude, which... But is that fair? Is that right? I'm not sure. I feel like there could be something. I mean, they did kind of say watch this space as well, but, you know, we're past Christmas now, you know, January, mid-January. Should we be looking at having something sort of planned and sorted by now? I don't know. It just felt a little bit like, we're just kind of waiting and seeing, maybe hoping it goes away a little bit.
Look, as a non-season ticket holder, and I know therefore I've got a different emotional attachment to this than maybe you do, Neil, as a season ticket holder, and not just you, obviously, there's also your boys as well. So goodness knows how much money you spent to get those. But in a way, so first of all, it was me that said to them that, you know, last season this is, so we're going back to sort of the summer at least, the Saints had said that their third kit would have the names inside or woven into the fact, or however it was going to be, you know, done, this, that and the other, to thank those people that had either renewed or bought season tickets for the season that was going ahead, or just hadn't asked for refunds on the season tickets that they'd had already. But apart from that, I can't think of any other examples off the top of my head where things have been done by other clubs, you know, any more than that. And the other thing that I would maybe say is that it's obviously quite a difficult thing for them to do, because you spent, as a season ticket holder, at least £200, I think, was the cheapest season ticket for an adult this year in the North Stand, maybe. And so that's at least £200 that you've spent. Is a token gesture of putting your name in a shirt that you've still got to go and buy, you know, buy for £40 or £50 at the end of the day when it's released. Is that actually giving a thank you back? Is that actually doing something? Is it more than a token gesture? Is it worth, you know, what it's meant to be doing? I don't know. And I think at the moment the club are very much just saying thank you, aren't they? And that's what they feel like all that they can actually do at the moment is say thank you. I know that, you know, they will always turn around and say that the majority of fans have all just said, look, keep the money or whatever. I think James Whiting said about only 5 to 8% of season tickets were refunded at the end of last season. So that does show that there is a majority of well over 90% of fans who are happy for them at this moment of time just to say thank you. Maybe I appreciate not everybody is exactly the same, but if the club are sort of looking at it and going, once we know what's happening with, so how much money exactly they're getting from the Premier League bailout, when the fans are going to actually come back, whether this season's going to finish, because we still don't know that for fact, it's not set in stone that it will definitely happen, then maybe they're right to just hold off on actually announcing anything and saying this is what we can do. Maybe it will be something that we won't necessarily even get until, you know, everything is kind of back to normal. It may well be that we've got to wait and see for even longer. Now, look, at the end of the day, everybody has a decision to make when it comes to next season as to whether they then go and buy a season ticket. One of the things I think you asked, Neil, on the follow-up was to say, are you worried at all about next season ticket sales? And again, they it wasn't that they weren't worried or that they weren't bothered by that question, but it didn't come across as though they were thinking, yes, we're really worried.
No. Yeah, it's a little bit of a kind of is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. And I can't really blame them for saying that, to be honest, because I just don't think there is much that they can do other than token gestures. Look, fine, if you've got an actual idea that is worth something that I've clearly, you know, missed, then by all means, send us a tweet at Cobblers to me and tell me that I'm completely wrong and the club could easily implement X, Y, or Z. Go for it.
The problem you've got with it as well, right, is, yeah, I'm a season ticket holder. Look, mine's in the North Stand. It was £200. It's not a vast amount of money. I know it is just to some people, but I wouldn't have bought it if it was going to cause me an issue, if that makes sense. So I think the problem they've got and where it becomes really difficult is, everyone is going to, every season ticket holder probably is going to have a slightly different opinion. So for me, I'm not particularly fussed. I knew that I was potentially going to lose out as such. That's the risk I took. I'm not too fussed about the club doing anything for me personally. Equally, you will have some people that, and maybe that's because mine was only 199 quid, so it's not too bad. Whereas if you paid 420 quid for the West Stand, you're then perhaps getting into a slightly different kettle of fish, aren't you? And I don't know, maybe there's something they can do, look, you know, discounted offer for next year's season tickets or something as an option. But then that's the knock-on effect of that is that means then the income from season tickets next season is lower. But then I guess you're trying to balance, you know, if we do that, would we keep those season ticket holders that would potentially lose by not doing anything? And it balances out, do you know what I mean? So there's so many different things to play at. And I guess they're thinking about all that. And I just don't think the answer would have necessarily appeased those that asked it.
I think it's there's so much unknown at the moment. Like, so for them to plan something for say, you know, this season runs out, so you get a free one next year, that's still unknown up until a certain point of the season.
Whoa, I didn't say a free one.
Well, you know what I mean. But there's things like,
hang on a minute.
But there's things like
free season tickets for all.
There's things like which league are we going to be in? We don't know yet.
Yeah,
you know, there's things like that need to come into the planning, and they don't know what's going to. If we were like sixth or seventh, and we know it's, you know, fairly confident that we're going to be in League One next season, they can plan a little bit differently to how it would be now with this, the unknown about which league we're going to be in. There's unknown about when's the season going to finish. There's unknown whether the season's actually going to finish. All these things are up in the air, which are, to me, their answer said, we're not sure because we don't want to make a massive commitment and then things change again. That's what I got from it. And it must be really frustrating to season ticket holders because a lot of us are getting home games for, a tenner, which is pretty much would work out the same, if not paying less than some season ticket holders would over a whole season to get the iFollow stuff. So, it's just so much unknown. It's really difficult to kind of find the right level, I think.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, look, before we move on, there were some questions that we just didn't simply have either time for, Pele being one of them, Neil, yeah, and Danny wanted that. If we're being honest, we kind of felt that either they were kind of answered in other questions, i.e. you were going to get the same answer as we had done for other things, or we didn't necessarily feel that, I don't know, it just didn't quite work. But we did afterwards send them to the club in an email, and we have got some answers back. So just to start off with, I haven't got the names of the people that asked these questions, but I will quickly run through them. So there was a question that asked the club what their thoughts were regarding the regular testing coming in, you know, for the coronavirus thing and it being mandatory. And the club's response was to say the regular testing from the EFL is welcome, and decisions on when to test and how regularly to test follow medical consultation. As the pandemic has evolved, the infection rates reduced and increased again, it's appropriate for protocols and testing requirements, which are risk-based, to follow this. As a club, we are taking every precaution we can to reduce the risk to the players and staff, and we have so far managed to generally keep the first team well protected. We did voluntarily test the first team squad last week and all came back clear. Of course, the more the virus is in general circulation, the harder and harder keeping people protected becomes, and we welcome the new twice weekly testing plan from the EFL. So there was that one. Somebody asked if there were any clauses in any of the playing squad's contracts to say that they had to start games if they were fit. The answer was no.
On that one. Which club would agree to that?
Oh, I don't.
Like, in seriously,
there has been players in the past who you've thought, you know, there's something going on there because they're not good enough. But there is.
There's clauses in contracts, isn't there? Like, where they trigger, I don't know, another year they play X amount of games, or whether they trigger, you know, a bonus payment, that sort of thing and stuff. But to have a clause that if fit, they have to play every game seems absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, it does.
Keith won't put up with that.
He's got one for Sam Hoskins, apparently.
Another question was about investigating into the use of rail seating or safe standing, something that has come up before and has been campaigned for before, I believe. The answer to that was that the club have discussed the matter at various fan panel meetings, have also met with some supporters previously. We also conducted a survey of season ticket holders, and the results showed that while there was certainly support for this, there were also some supporters who were against the plans, many of whom are supporters of many years, and we need to be respectful of those views too. Obviously, with COVID, other issues have taken priority, but it is something we have talked about and we will revisit again in the future. Another one was basically about the... what have we got here? Sorry.
The ball stand, wasn't it?
It's about the beer tent.
Oh,
sorry.
Beer tent.
Yeah, the beer tent that was in place before the Yeovil home game in 2019, talking about whether that can, you know, be added on when we can all go back to going to the football regularly again, as it could be a way of helping generate some extra income. The answer is that the beer festival was a big success, but the cost of hiring the marquee was a considerable investment. We made that work by hosting a number of events in the marquee over a 2-week period, including a concert, the beer festival, the end of season dinner, and it is about making sure the finances work, particularly in these difficult times. But it's something we will discuss again when we have fans back.
On that one, Charles.
Yeah, go on, Neil.
Is that, I know there was a question that was asked, I think it was from Shane, about fan club sort of co-raising money.
Crowdfunding,
yeah, or as I call it, co-raising money. I know he asked a question about that. That could be something similar along those lines, could it not? If we had to hire a marquee each time we wanted to do it, as a fan base and as a club, could we not look to raise the money as a group and then buy our own marquee?
Well, I was going to say, surely buying a marquee, if you're going to be looking to doing it regularly, then it's a little bit like the argument of rent versus buying a house, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It probably works out cheaper in the long run for you to have your own one.
I don't know how much a marquee costs, but I mean...
No idea.
They can't be dramatically expensive. You're not talking tens and tens of thousands, are you?
I'm sure you can get a gazebo from the middle aisle of Lidl.
You can. You can also get a barbecue, new shoes...
Oh, wouldn't that be great? I did think the reaction to that question was quite good, actually. It was almost unexpected by the looks, you know, by the look on the face or the fact that the answer wasn't immediately forthcoming. And there was a slight pause. But I welcome the fact that it was welcomed by Kelvin. I don't see that there's anything wrong. I did see on Twitter that Shane did say that he was going to raise it at the next... trust meeting as maybe a proposal that they could make to the club.
That would be a good thing, wouldn't it, for that to kind of solidify or to continue building back the relationship between the club and the trust to work together on something like that.
I think so, yeah, absolutely. It would definitely be something that would be a positive step, I would say. So yeah, I'd be happy with that. There was one final question. Somebody asked, can we go back to calling the North Stand the Dave Bowen Stand? And the club just basically said, as a club, we're very proud of our history and our heritage. And over the last couple of years, we have worked with the Bowen family to produce two visual reminders of Dave Bowen. The pictures on the side of the wall of the stand and also the bust, which sits proudly outside the stadium. Keeping the club financially secure is also vital. And so we will always be open to the possibility of stand naming rights partnerships. But we will continue to remain proud of our history. And we'll continue to recognise that in many different ways. We are currently in some discussions about the next step for the North Stand. Mm-hmm. Right.
Dean Pier Corridor.
Yeah, we will take a very quick break and we'll be back talking about all the news that we learned about the players in a moment.
Do you enjoy It's All Cobblers to Me? Do you want more Cobblers-related podcast content and to feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Well, now you can! Sign up to support the podcast on Patreon. From as little as £2 per month, you'll receive access to additional content such as bonus podcasts, merchandise, tractor rides with Chezzy, meetups, player Q&As, and you'll be supporting us to keep bringing you a weekly podcast about the biggest and best football team in the world of Northampton. Go to patreon.com/cobblers to me right now. Tractor rides are only available on a first-come, first-served basis. No farm animals were harmed in the making of this advert, although Neil did get a splinter.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. We're talking about the fans forum and giving our reaction to it. There was a little bit of chat. I know we've already touched on it. Danny asked questions to Keith Curl regarding the playing style. Keith wasn't very happy.
But
there were some
other
questions. There were some other questions that were aimed mostly towards Keith. The first one being about Ricky Holmes. Now, actually, I will say that our thunder was stolen a little bit here, because we recorded that fans forum on Wednesday evening, and then on Thursday evening on Radio Northampton on the Cobblers show, Jake Sharp had Simon Tracy, who is, I think, head of recruitment, I think is his official title. He had him on the show, and when he was asked about Ricky Holmes, Simon Tracy basically gave a very blunt answer, which is that Ricky's been told that if he gets an offer from elsewhere, he should take it. He is a number 10, and we don't play with a number 10, I think were the words that were used. We got a rather more diplomatic answer from our panel, didn't we, Danny?
We did. It seemed to me, from what Kelvin and Keith and Gareth and James were talking about, that it was more of, you know, Ricky can look elsewhere because that's his right to do for the next month. If there's anything here at the end of the month, then we might look at it again. That's what I gathered from our conversations with them, that it's not looking good, but because if I was in Ricky's shoes, I wouldn't be feeling the most welcome after that. You know, if it's the end of the month and we've still got space for you, we might think about it. It's not the most enticing contract offer, is it, when you've probably got someone in League Two? I think Southend are looking at him, aren't they, or offering him something that is interesting.
That's his boyhood club.
That's
though,
his boyhood club, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which might suit him a bit more.
I did question why to Simon Tracy's comments. Hmm. Kind of begs the question a little bit of why sign him in the first place.
Yeah, did he actually say things about the playing style, or was it more that we don't play with the number 10?
He said we don't play with the number 10. Ricky is a number 10, I think.
Well, I get it. We don't, and I kind of agree that I've said this a few times. I think I don't really see where he fits in.
Yeah.
And he's not the same Ricky Holmes as he once was. Is he still robust enough, and is he still fit enough to take a spot up in a 22-man squad? It's a risk, isn't it? It's probably a risk we can't quite afford. We probably need someone that we know is going to be available and to be able to do 90 minutes Saturday, Tuesday, because there's a hell of a lot of Tuesday games coming up. So I totally understand the reasoning behind it, but it does just sort of beg the question a little bit, why did we even bother in the first place?
Well, we had space, I guess, didn't we, at that point?
Yeah, I think that's what it all comes down to, is simply there was space to put him in, and therefore he was put in.
I think at the time it made complete sense. Just like, it was a no-lose situation, because the club needed a bit of good PR as well at that point, absolutely, didn't we? So I think where it is now, it's a case of, do we keep Ricky and throw a bit more money at him and give him a bit more stability, or do we put that towards something that's going to suit our style? And as much flack as we'll probably take for saying things like that, isn't it better probably to have someone else, if we're going to invest in like the equivalent of Callum Morton coming in, to play and getting in behind and having that as kind of effect on the squad, rather than having Ricky Holmes, who feels a little bit lost? And it's a tough decision, but it feels like that would be the better way forward, to find a really good player who suits our style, rather than having someone who's a little bit of a luxury. And if it was a 23-man squad, probably would be in there. But as it is, you'd want Ricky to go and do his best for someone else, and just not in League One, please.
You've already got people apoplectic about it.
Apoplectic. Slip that one in.
Slip it in. Slip it in the bust. You've already...
Sorry, kids.
You've already got... I had a brief look at, for my own sins. I had a brief look at the hotel end earlier. I generally try to have a look before we record the pod just to try and get a gauge of what people are talking about and what's going on. And yeah, there's some what I would class as overreactions about the Ricky Holmes situation on there. Equally, you've got, like, it's funny you mentioned Callum Morton, Danny, because you've got people saying, because I think Simon Tracy went on to say, didn't he, that we're looking for sort of attack-minded players that are fast, young and energetic and that sort of thing.
Oh, Callum Morton.
Well, yeah.
Louis Barry, get him in.
And there was an inference, isn't there? There's been an inference from, I can't remember if it was Keith Curl or Simon Tracy, about potential loanees coming in, probably more than permanent signings, and potentially younger loanees coming in. And the obvious reaction on a cobbler's message board, such as the hotel end, was ridiculous. Why would we do that? And someone just literally replied with Callum Morton. So you're going to get, especially with someone that's perceived, like Ricky Holmes is perceived because of what he did last time, you're going to unfortunately get a lot of negative reaction if he's not kept on. And
yeah,
but ridiculously as well, I saw on the hotel end someone suggested we should play him at wing back,
even though he said that he doesn't play wing back.
Even though he said he cannot play wing back, someone suggested, because I replied to a comment saying, "Well, where would you play him?" And all of most of the responses were along the lines of in the number 10 role, in a free role, etc. Well, we don't play that, so can't. And someone replied saying, "Well, even play him at wing back instead of Hoskins." It's like, he hasn't. Imagine Ricky Holmes bless him for 90 minutes up and down the wing against a tricky winger.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
He'd retire there and then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, from you mentioned one young player. Let's talk about the other, Caleb Chuckwamaker. The thing that was interesting for me that got revealed was the fact that his scholarship contract runs until 2022. Now, originally, we believed that that ran until around about this sort of time, didn't we? I think it was mentioned that he'd had a scholarship contract that was going to run partway through the season. So obviously that has been tied down, but it sounds as though James Whiting said that several offers have been made to him and his representatives, and that is a direct quote, to give him a pro deal. Almost sounds to me like that he wants more than what the club have, so far at least, been willing to offer him.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got an agent, which I assume he's got an agent, right, and you've got the agent or the media, whoever it may be, throwing around Club Bruges, Norwich, Bournemouth, I think I read.
Aston Villa,
yeah, I think where his brother is, isn't it? And you've got us. Bless us. Come on. Sign on. We'll pay you 900 quid a week or whatever it may be.
Probably close to 200.
Yeah,
900 is probably quite a lot of money.
Being a bit kind, sorry. but yeah, I think it's a difficult situation, isn't it? You can't force someone to sign a contract. You can't force someone to stay at the club if they're, you know, their mindset or their mind's elsewhere and stuff. So what more can they do, really? They've made a few offers to him. Are they going to go out and, you know, roll out the red carpet and break the bank to keep him? Probably not. And I'd say that's probably not the right thing to do anyway, because...
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, with this sort of thing, it's difficult. He could absolutely bomb. He could go somewhere else, disappear into the ether, and end up playing for Boreham Wood in 2 years. Or he could even move somewhere else, have a career-ending injury, or he could take off and end up playing in the Champions League. You just don't know, do you? It's that risk.
No. Can I just point out, £900 a week is £46,800 a year.
It's not a massive amount, is it?
Well, but for a League One footballer that is at first pro contract.
Oh, yeah, it'd be good for him. Yeah, you know, there you go. I've done it. I've solved it. Problem solved.
We have a crowdfunder.
The key. Crowdfunder.
We could have too many crowdfunders here.
Yeah, we could too, couldn't we? We saw one player leave, Danny.
Yeah.
Chris Lines. He's gone to Stevenage.
Oh, I thought Danny had left for a minute.
No such luck, Neil.
Ooh.
Out.
thoughts on saying goodbye to Chris, Danny?
I like Chris Lines. He never moaned, did he, or never kind of put up a fuss when he was out of the team, and he's been in this team for a couple of years now, and he's been in and out. He never really made a massive fuss when he was out of it, and he's always coming in and do a really good job. It's probably legs have got the better of him for League One, but he'll do pretty well for Stevenage, I'd have thought, if they're playing to his strengths, which is passing and, you know, picking out players and coming in late and delivering a thunder thwack from the edge of the area every now and then, I think he'll do a decent job like he did for us at that level. He can still make things happen. I think Stevenage at their level have got a decent player, but probably pretty glad to have the extra space in the squad because he won't be in use, was he?
No, I think that's it. I mean, there was a bit where I was wondering why he wasn't used, and I think there was a rumour maybe that he'd been injured, but we'd not really known about it, or whether there was something else that was outside of football that had just made life not be very good for him. All of that is just rumour, by the way. I don't know that any of that for fact. But for me, it's a shame because, I mean, he's a ball player and I know the argument is that we don't play the way that Chris Lyons fits into the squad. But then again, it was a Keith Curl signing. So I am disappointed to see him go. I do think it's a shame that we didn't get to see more of him. I'd have liked to have seen more of him. Would you have done, Neil?
No, I'm probably one in a more of a minority, actually, that okay. I'm not particularly fussed. Again, I struggled to see where he fitted in. I wasn't entirely sure what his position was. And I guess maybe he would, if a team played with a sort of, to coin an American term, a quarterback, I guess, someone that just sort of sits there and lays the ball around, then I could see him probably doing that. But I did struggle. I think in his younger days, he was more box to box, wasn't he? And more energetic and could influence the game more. But I think whenever we saw him, he was very in and out of the game a lot of the time. And look, technically, he was a good player and he could pass the ball. And he, like you said, there was a couple of decent finishes. But I did struggle to see where, are you going to put him in ahead of Sean McWilliams? No. Are you going to put him in even ahead of Ryan Watson? Potentially not, because Ryan Watson actually offers a bit more bite, although he's not as perhaps good on the ball, but he offers more bite. And then the other one, potentially Sowerby, much of a muchness, I think, and Sowerby's a more recent signing, so it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking through our squad and at the ages of the players that we've got. I'm actually quite surprised. We have got quite a few players that are over 30. Now, I'm not saying that you're old once you get to my age, but when you've got the likes of, so Nicky Adams is 34. Steve Arnold is a goalkeeper, 31. I mean, okay, that's goalkeeper, for some reason, it's more acceptable, or you get into your prime a little bit later than middle of the park sort of roles, don't you, for some reason? Mark Marshall's 33, Martin's 32, Josh Mills, surprisingly, Danny, 31. I didn't 31? Know that. I thought he was younger than that.
Look, a day over 20.
and Alan Sheehan's 34.
Who's Josh Mills?
Josh. Yeah, Josh.
Oh, whatever.
J Mills with a Z.
What is his first name? Joseph. Joseph. Sorry.
Joseph. Yeah, there you go. So I think with the fact that it's under 21, isn't it? So anybody under the age of 21 doesn't count towards this list. I mean, that's where you get to like McWilliams, who is 22. He's only just counting towards that squad registration of 22 places, or 20 as it will be next season. Same for Benny Ashley-Seal. He's 22 as well. So I'm not surprised that Chris Lyons is gone, because he is 34, I think. So that'll be another reason why he's gone.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you then replace him with someone under 21, you've still got that space in the squad as well.
Yeah, absolutely. 2-for-1.
You know, I like a good 2-for-1.
You certainly do. Who doesn't, Danny?
Brilliant. Right, well, that's the end of part two. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thanks very much for listening. We're still here talking about the fans forum and giving our reaction to it. We've already talked about a bit about the players and a little bit about our instant reactions to, you know, thanks to the football club for doing it. This part, I want to concentrate a little bit on the finances because it is something that is quite important. Obviously, with COVID and no fans being allowed in the stadium, the only money that the club have basically had from fans has been season ticket sales, which was probably coming up to, well, probably around about 12 to 14 months ago now that happened, or 10 to 12 months ago, probably when that money was actually coming in. Kelvin Thomas and James Whiting said on the fans forum that they believe that their estimate is that the club will be losing circa £3 million this season through lost revenue. They broke that down a little bit by saying their ticket income loss was going to be about £1.75 million, with a further £1.3 million being lost from other revenue sources. So club shop sales on a match day, the restaurant, all of these different things.
That, sponsorship that they and stuff.
Do, like yeah, sponsorship. Yeah, absolutely. And then the Premier League bailout will only be providing an estimated £500,000, which obviously I think was quoted as being about 30% of the ticket income loss. So we're clearly not going to be making back the money that, you know, we would normally see, that would normally essentially keep the bank balance not looking dreadful. Not that it looks particularly good anyway. In a way, it feels quite bleak, or at least it does to me. How do you guys see it? Are you a bit worried or not?
I don't really know. I try not to take too much notice of the finances stuff because it confuses me a lot of time, which is weird working in the finance industry for me.
I was going to say.
Well, insurance. So I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? The figures you see and the losses. I mean, I think it's obvious, isn't it, a little bit. I do struggle a little bit to see why some people are so surprised that football clubs are losing so much money at the moment because, like, I mean, that for us, that ticket income loss, 1.75 mil, that's a lot of money, right? And you look at a bigger club than such as us that you would usually get, you know, over 10,000 or whatever, then they're going to be losing an even bigger chunk, aren't they? So it's no huge surprise how much money we've lost or will lose and stuff. Like you said, I don't think the bank was looking too healthy anyway, so this is obviously going to exacerbate the problem. I would imagine there's going to be, even when fans are back in and stuff, there's going to be a recovery period, isn't there, for football clubs, and there's going to be a period of a year or two where things have to stay tightened and to get back on a bit of an even keel. I don't really see any other way around that.
No, they did say as well that there were, you've got to put into it that they're still looking to strengthen in January, that they still have, like, feel like they need to go out and strengthen the playing squad, which hasn't come into the equation yet. But for them to come and say that is quite reassuring, I think, because if it was completely bleak, you wouldn't have thought they'd be talking about things like that. And the noises coming from them would be more like, we've just got to make do with what we've got. I think the way we go about transfers is probably going to be a bit different in terms of, you get rid of someone like Chris Lyons. Like I say, you bring in an under 21, someone who's a little bit unproven, take a risk on it maybe, but it feels to me like it's in control, but it's not on the good like trajectory at the moment until fans actually start to get back into the ground.
It's manageable, isn't it? I think
it feels like it at the moment, but yeah. And I am surprised that other clubs, I if you look at it like a year ago when the pandemic started, I thought by this point there's going to be two or three clubs going out of the league, because it just didn't, because there was, you know, there's clubs that were struggling anyway. So,
and actually that's a good point, because that came up in the conversation, didn't it? And there was a very clear point made that no, it's nowhere near that serious for us anyway as a football club. So that's a positive thing as well, right?
Yeah, and probably the Charlie Goode money helped that a little bit.
Yeah, of course, and the FA Cup run and stuff probably given us a bit of a backup. I mean, like, how on earth clubs like Accrington are still going, I don't know.
Don't start
that. They're very well run. They do everything right up at Accrington. Andy Holt's God.
I just think that there are questions. Of course, you can't just take everything that's said in isolation. However, I don't see personally what the club would have to gain by massaging the facts.
Massaging the dust.
But, you know, I just kind of think, look, £3 million is an awful lot of money to be down. Yes, we made money last season with the cup run and with the sale of Charlie Goode. But, I mean, that doesn't make up for that money. Neither does the Premier League bailout. There's still a long way to go before there's parity in regards to, you know, football finance, TV deals and all this, that and the other. I mean, look, I don't have the answers for that. I still sort of look at it and go, you know, if you're a Premier League club and you're Sky or BT and you're paying for the Premier League rights, why should any of that money go to a club that isn't in that competition? Just very basically looking at that, if you look at it from a business point of view, why would it? You know, why should anyone like us expect any of that money? It doesn't make sense to me. But I am aware that this is football, and football is not just like any other business. But even so, it's still, I struggle, like you say, Neil, I struggle to keep my head around it. And I just always go back to the point of, I don't have a reason to disbelieve what I'm being told by the people that see the numbers every time and can go in and see where the losses are and can see where, you know, they can basically go in and they will look at a profit and loss sheet. What gain do they have to make by telling us a lie?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anyone's questioning that element is a lie, are they? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they are. I'm just, you know, a lot is always said. Like, so for example, people will turn around and say, well, don't believe everything that you're told. You know, there will be a reason. And like, so for instance, you mentioned the Hotel End earlier, discussions on the Hotel End over the weekend about the fact that the income or the money that helped. So the fact that non-playing staff were on furlough, so 80% of their wages were being covered by the government and not by the football club. You know, there's suggestions being made that we're not being told the full picture and that they're only telling you the losses, and that, you know, there are some on the message board who are basically insinuating that what we've been told, this £3 million figure, isn't necessarily correct.
I mean, yeah, I think you take that with a pinch of salt. You're always going to get some absolute Herberts on a message board that I think they know better than actually people that physically look at the figures, aren't you? And I looked on there, like I said, I looked on there earlier. They were talking about Elon Musk and Tesla and Bitcoin. So it, like, unbelievable stuff. So God knows what they're on about. I think a lot of the time people like to think they know stuff, don't they? And people like to think that they're smarter than the people that actually physically look at the figures. And it's very easy if you're in your bedroom at your mum's board.
Absolutely.
Well, we're on finances quickly, Charles. EFL trophy winnings Pizza Cup. Ooh. 100 grand for the winner.
Really?
Ooh.
50 grand for runner-up, 50 for semi, 50 for quarters. Build that up.
We're not. Did I see you say, Danny, that if we win on Tuesday against MK Dons, we're into the semi final, is it?
Into the area semi final, yeah. So we'll be like two games for Wembley.
Just
to play the area semi. That's when it gets exciting, isn't it?
You start to think, don't you? Well, there's 100 grand in it.
MK are no big cheese, are they? So get them out of the way.
Well, they'll be tired after their escapades up in Burnley, won't they?
Yeah. Portsmouth and Borough play each other.
Oh, good. That's
one of them out. Come on, we're on the road.
We're on the road.
And when I said that thing last week about me going to Wembley and having a pizza on Wembley Way, didn't realise how close we were to that actually happening.
You can't backtrack now, Danny. One of the other questions that we asked or were given to ask, Kelvin and James, was about the fact that they said originally that there was money ring fenced when they first came in to finish the East Stand.
Ring fence it.
Which one of us did you give that to ask, Charles? I can't remember.
I can't remember. It was somebody else I wanted to throw under the bus. It might have been Chezzy. but the answer that was given, obviously, again, it won't be an answer that satisfies every single person that has that question. But essentially, the answer to the question is that times move on and things happen. And therefore, either money gets spent in other places because it has to be, or things within, you know, well, the world happen that cause other things to not be as viable anymore, I think was essentially the answer, wasn't it, Danny?
Yeah, and I'm not one of these people who thinks that they should be thrown under the bus for saying that. Think it is an ever-moving thing, and you've got to survive as a football club like we've seen the last year or so. So it's... I mean, honestly, we've had, two or three of these chats with Kelvin. There's nothing in any of them that have made me think bad of him or made me think that he's doing anything that's dodgy. Like, we've had dodgy onions in the past, which plays a lot into people's thoughts on that. But there's nothing in him where I've thought, I don't trust you. Like, I completely trust him with what's going on at the moment. So, and that's as good a starting point as you can have with any owner, I think.
I agree totally. I think that's absolutely bang on the money, Danny. I think you've nailed it. I think there's no reason to not trust him. He's relatively open and honest as much as he can be, and is willing to be, which is, you know, that's fair enough. And I think he actually acknowledged this himself, I think, didn't he? He said that he accepts the thing that can be levelled at him is that they don't have deep enough pockets. He accepts that. That's fair, and that's just the truth, right? But that doesn't mean that he's a bad guy, and it doesn't mean that he hasn't got the club's best interests at heart, as well as probably, you know, some personal interests as well. But, you know, that's his prerogative. He's the one, or him and not necessarily specifically him, but they're the ones that are paying to keep the club running, right?
Yeah, I think it is one of those. It's a thing where I think we'd all love, if you look at fan ownership and you know, it's a huge conversation, but essentially football clubs need an awful lot of money to keep them going. And, you know, as we've seen with the likes of Wickham, Portsmouth, it can only take you so far. I mean, Exeter doing a grand job, but they're still in League Two. How many times have they flirted with promotion? I don't know where they are at the moment in League Two for this season. But at the end of the day, they're still not going any higher than they were before they were owned by their fans. So there is definitely a glass ceiling, so to speak, when it comes to that. And it all comes down to the fact that it costs so much, you know, to keep a football club running, but not just that, but to compete. You know, there is that. The most obvious thing to say is that with the salary cap in League Two, the salary cap limit is 1.5 million. You go up a division and you've got to spend £1 million more to hit it. I'm not saying that you do, because we obviously aren't, and we've been told that we're not spending £2.5 million. That isn't our budget. But the fact that there is £1 million difference between the two salary caps, that's a lot of money. it's not just a case of just writing a blank check all the time, because at the end of the day, you've got to have the money there to back it up somehow. And you know, as you quite rightly say, Neil, they are happy to admit that they don't have the ability to write blank checks. I'm personally happy that we're in a position where they, Kelvin Thomas, David Bauer, the people with the money, are able to, you know, to keep the club going at this moment in time. They've made no, you know, they've not tried to hide the fact that the club requires further investment. Look at the 5U Sport thing. That was intended to be extra investment. They got their hands burned, didn't they, with that? That's one of those things. It's a lesson in business, I suppose you'd put it down to. Maybe that's why we've not had any other further investment, is that now they're being ultra careful, possibly, with anybody else that comes in. And I think Kelvin did say, didn't he, that there aren't always the right motives for people to invest in football clubs. And that's one of the things that they may well have had interest. But what will that lead to? Could we then be in a position where we're like Oldham are, for instance, at the moment, or where other clubs have been in the past, where you know, grounds have been sold and not replaced, so to speak. So, look, I know people will call us biased or say that we're blind to it or whatever, but that's our opinion, and
blind to
that's
what?
My opinion.
Blind to
well,
what? That's the thing, isn't it? This is the thing. Yeah. It's one of those things at the minute where it's so easy to sit and throw accusations or, oh, I've been told this by John Baggins or whatever name people use. And
Christopher Biggins.
Christopher Biggins. Oh, John Baggins. it's just one of them things, isn't it? You see it like on the news, not on the news, on Twitter. You see it with all these people about COVID going and taking a picture of a hospital and saying, well, this hospital's empty, so COVID must be fake. They're trying to control us. I saw someone I know, for some reason, I know them from a previous job, on still follow them on Instagram, and they'd put up earlier, can't wait to get this COVID vaccination so I can have my tracker fitted. And it's things like that. I was like, it's just, and it's the same with anything in society at the moment. It's the same with cobblers, that people think they know better. People think they know best. People like to cause mischief. People aren't always going to be happy. I understand that. And I've got absolutely zero issue with questioning what a decision or, you know, criticizing where a decision is a bad decision, or if you disagree with something the club is doing. What I have got a bit of an issue with is when it's just for the sake of it, and it's just a constant negative tirade against whatever it may be. I mean, look at when the podcast came out about the forum the other day. There was numerous different messages flying around on Twitter instantly, just absolutely rinsing into it. And it's like, hold on. Like, there's nothing bad you can say about the process of putting a fans forum together. Four of the top bods in the football club have took a couple of hours out of their evening to spend time with four absolute Herberts that just love talking about cobblers.
Chesney included in that, yeah.
Chesney included, yeah. And the questions were, you know, they were taken from all supporters. I know it was a season ticket holders forum, but actually in the end, we ended up including some questions just from everyone. Those questions weren't vetted at all by us or by the football club. None of those questions were refused to be answered by the football club. The club didn't ask for anything to be edited out. The club didn't give us a steer on what we could say, what we couldn't say, what we could ask, what we couldn't ask. In fact, they made a very, very fair and good point of stating, ask everything and anything. We're open. This is an open forum. We want to, that's why we're doing it. So I just struggle. There's a lot of negativity about it. You can question some of the answers, and you can, like we've done, we've just gone through that process a little bit, and some of the answers not so sure about. To question and to have that constant negative tirade against anything the club does, in my opinion, you instantly lose my respect and the respect of your argument, because no matter what the club does, no matter what they do, when they do it, whatever they do, you're never going to give them any credit. You're never going to say anything positive about them. Yeah, any other club, oh, you're going to retweet that. Oh, Accrington have done brilliant. Oh, aren't they the best? Oh, they've done this. Oh, they've done that. The minute our club does anything that's slightly positive, doesn't even really get a mention. It's ridiculous and it's embarrassing. I've lost my head. Sorry.
I enjoyed it. Nothing to add to that.
Absolutely. Well, look, that is it for this week's It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for all of your support. It really does mean a lot. I will say thank you personally for the messages that I personally had. Not all of them. Some of them caused me to have a really bad Friday. I'm not going to lie. But there we go. That's what you have to put up with being in the media, apparently.
Are we the media? We're not the media.
Who knows?
Not Danny and TV and you talk.
Danny and I will be back on Friday with the preview show. We're facing Oxford on Saturday. Yeah. That's a quick turnaround. We owe them one, don't we, Danny? So hopefully.
Charles, piece of cup first.
Yeah, but we won't be here for that. Come on.
I'll be here. I'll be on Twitter doing a live video.
Lovely. Yeah. Join Danny for his live video on Tuesday night when MK Dons at the PTS Stadium in the Pizza Cup.
Onlyfans.com/PizzaCup.
Good. I'm glad you got that in there. Please do go and check out our website. It's cobblerstome.com. There's loads of extra content on there. Write a weekly blog that Danny isn't in charge of. Make sure you subscribe, because that is the way that you will make sure that you'll never miss a show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
You're beautiful.
Bust.
Ha ha ha.